Today we will hear Psalm 52, a psalm of trust, expressing the hope and trust that Yahweh will come to the aid of the petitioner even against tyrants. Your Bibles possibly include the common superscription for Psalm 52, which refers to it as a maskil of David. That is a Hebrew term whose ancient meaning is now lost, but the 13 psalms having that name are primarily contemplative. However, the word may also imply the way the psalm should be performed when it's sung. We just don't know. Unfortunately, at least in my opinion, an unknown scribe, we don't know who or when, suggested that this psalm should be attributed to David and connected with a specific story involving him tangentially. Although modern scholarship rejects this historical association, I will review it for you. So, our scribe associates this poem with the time David fled from Saul and went by himself to the city of Nob, where he found Ahimelech the high priest. David told the high priest a whole series of lies to ensure that Ahimelech not report David to King Saul, and to get Ahimelech to give David, the fugitive, something to eat and possibly even a sword. Poor, unarmed Ahimelech was, of course, terrified, and had no choice but to cooperate with this outlaw. He even gave David the only sword he had, Goliath's sword. When King Saul finally heard about this, he ordered the terrified Ahimelech and all of his 86 innocent priests to be killed, as well as every man, woman, child, ox, donkey, and sheep in the city of Nob. Horrific as this story is, there have been men since who have done similar things, both in time of war and even during times of civil suppression. But again, modern scholarship rejects associating this graphic story so directly with Psalm 52. Instead, we are advised to think of the association as being illustrative rather than historical. The association is far too vague. But this is a good thing. Now this means that our wonderful poem is timeless, appropriate across cultures, language groups, and civilizations. This does not refer to one specific story. Turning to Psalm 52, in verses 1 and 2, our poet poses a rhetorical question to all tyrants, including those in our day. Why do you boast that you can do anything you want? Don't you see that God's goodness continues in spite of your mischief? Verses 3, 4, and 5 list the tyrant's sins, and this list sounds contemporary to my ears. Verse 3, you speak things that are simply wrong, even evil, and your lies really hurt people. Verse 4, the poet says to tyrants that they obviously love that which hurts others or is simply unrighteous far more than they love that which is good. To paraphrase our poet, when you talk, you just tell lies, not truths. Verse 5, you love telling lies, saying things which only hurt others. O thou false tongue. Verse 6, the poet's focus shifts from the unnamed tyrants of our world to Yahweh, and to those who truly seek to follow Yahweh and his ways. Verse 6 essentially says that Yahweh will do to the tyrants that which they have done to others. And this, verse 7, will give God's faithful the courage even to laugh at their former tyrants, a dangerous thing to do when they're in power, saying, verse 8, lo, or look, this is the man that took not God for his strength, but instead trusted in his wealth and his wicked ways. Then verses 9 and 10 bring the poem to its conclusion. The poet has looked at the tyrants and their ways and at Yahweh and Yahweh's ways, and has decided to associate forever with Yahweh. In the words of our translation, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I am going to be securely planted there. I will trust in God's tender mercies more than I will fear what tyrants can do to me. And I will always give thanks to God, placing my hope in God, just as so many saints have done before me. Tyrants come in many shapes and sizes. There are the obvious tyrants, operating politically, militarily, using unnecessary force. Some tyrants wrongly dominate others in the world of economics or trade. Some, when passing unfair laws. Some, by imposing hardships because of race. I can even imagine someone being a tyrant theologically. Some ensemble conductors or movie directors are tyrannical. Some families suffer tyranny from within. In other words, Psalm 52 is timeless. I've been using the Coverdale translation of 1622 because it is the version always sung and recorded by choirs during evensong. But you might wish to refer to other translations in order to draw still further inspiration from these words. We hear the choir of Ely Cathedral, Paul Trept conducting, and David Price playing the organ for this psalm setting by Derek Cantrell. In this, and in all such psalm settings, the organist is subtly but constantly changing stops in order to match the text, and all of the colors and dynamics are selected by the organist.